This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
The winners and losers in America's social security system.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. What will you receive in Social Security benefits compared with what you pay in taxes? Joining us now with the answer to that question is the Wall Street Journal's Laura Saunders. Laura, the reason this question is coming up right now is because of a payroll tax increase that affects some 12 million higher income workers.
That's exactly right. Starting in 2017, the wage base for Social Security taxes will jump from about $118,000 to about $127,000. So that will be a bigger bite for many people that earn more than $118,000. And it's larger than many expect because we skipped a year of adjustment. Usually it kind of inches up. But next year we're going from 118 to 127.
Which works out to what, about an extra $540, $539?
Yes, for people at the top of that scale, if you're going to pay the whole thing. It is, and it's a 6.2% flat that gets paid into Social Security.
So let's look at how people net out here when it comes time to receive this benefit. You say in your piece that low earners often get more from Social Security benefits than they pay in, while high earners get less.
That's right. The system was set up that way. It was designed almost from the beginning to replace a larger percentage of low earners' wages in retirement than higher earners' wages. But I thought it would be interesting to look, since the tax increase affects higher earners, I thought it would be interesting to look at what the percentages replaced are. And, you know, what you pay in over a lifetime versus what you're likely to get out of it. Now, remember, these are all kind of stylized workers who work for 35 years and don't move in and out. And,
right.
You know, they're always low-wage earners or they're always high-wage earners. But that's the only way that you can really see how the system works.
Absolutely. So what did you find?
Well, I found, for instance, that if you're the lowest wage earner, making, say, the equivalent your whole life of about $22,000-$23,000, that in retirement you would probably get back more than two times what you paid in if you live a typical lifespan. But if you're at the other end of the scale, and that would be a couple with dual incomes above the cap or at the cap or above the cap, then you will get not back, like the lower one gets twice back over in retirement, but the higher earning couple would get back less than one times what you paid in.
That's really interesting. And you say in the piece, single income couples also do better.
Well, what this really means is that there are a lot of anomalies in Social Security that were baked in many, many years ago. And so they don't necessarily track the times. For instance, the system was set up when many women didn't work outside the home, so the benefits are based on the idea that there's one wage earner. So that means that the most, quote, disadvantaged couples or losers are couples where you have two people earning the same amount of money. They get the least out for what they pay in. And that's because it was set up the way it was set up. But there are other anomalies as well. There are many other anomalies.
Oh, tell us about some of them.
Well, divorcees should be very careful about their Social Security because they can either be big winners or big losers under the system. It's complicated, but it has to do with whether you work, whether your ex-spouse worked, and whether you were married for more than 10 years or less than 10 years. But that's one anomaly. One earner couples often come out ahead, or any couple where the earnings are of the two partners are very far apart. You know, one person makes a lot of money and the other person makes a little money. Those people are winners, if you will, under the system. Also, if a retiree is married to a much younger spouse who will outlive him or her, those people tend to come out ahead. And also if retirees have children late in life, it's so that they, when they're retired, the child is still under 18, that family gets extra benefits as well. The losers, on the other hand, tend to be dual earner couples earning about the same amount of money. Also, people who work longer than 35 years, because it looks at your highest 35 years, so that if you work longer than that, probably your benefit won't go up very much relative to what you put in to the system in those extra years.
And you know I'm going to ask this because I always ask you this, but I'm always curious. Did anything surprise you working on this piece?
Well, it was just interesting to see the persistence of the family model that we all experienced in the 50s has persisted into the, you know, in Social Security. It's kind of baked in and hard to get out. It's also true in the tax code. Dual earner couples, where the couples make almost the same amount of money, pay often a lot more in federal income tax, maybe $10,000 in some cases for affluent couples, for the privilege of being married, and that's every year. So, and it's very, very hard to get those anomalies out once they're in, because if you try to let the married couple, if you try to make things fair for them, then you disadvantage the single earner couple. So,
really interesting, really complicated. It's a good thing we have you to break this all down. That's the Wall Street Journal's Laura Saunders joining me here in the studio.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York.
Love this show? Check out others by visiting wsj.com/podcasts. See our full selection under programs.